The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Literally, I thought my job was to try to make people quit playing football on Sunday.
That was the job.
I was trying to make people quit playing football, not trying to tackle nobody, not trying to, you know, to win a game. I'm trying to make you quit playing football. You line up across from me. I was hoping that the way I played the game, when the game was over with, you went and told your coach, "Coach, I'm done. I ain't doing this no more. I'm done. You know, if I got to play against that cat right there, somebody like him every week, I'm done."
What's up, everybody? LeVar Arrington here. Another edition of Up On Game presents Conversations with a Legend. If you know me, you know that this is going to be my most favorite interview of them all. If you could bring anybody back, this one would still be my favorite of them all. My favorite player, probably the most influential player over my career. I have the pleasure and the joy to interview the Mr. Master Greg Lloyd. What's going on, OG?
What's up, LA? How's it going, bud?
Man, happy to have you on. Happy to get some time to talk to you.
Likewise. I appreciate you having me on. We got a big time difference here. I was thinking 10. I was thinking 10:30 my time. I kept going, that says Pacific. I was like, okay, so I gotta hang around here. For
you
a
got
minute.
Up early. I appreciate you
No doubt. We're good.
What are you up to these days? You know, I take pride in knowing what you be up to. I hear you still be spending time up in the tree stands. You'll go out on the property and stay out there for about 10-20 days. What you got going on these days?
Well, you know, hunting season is something that's you know, it's all year long. It depends on, you know, some people just like to hunt certain things. I hunt a little bit of everything. We turkey hunt, bird hunt, and deer hunt. And so right now it's hot, you know, mm-hmm. You ain't doing a whole lot of hunting right now, mm-hmm. and everything, and snakes are moving. So I'm scared of snakes. So I'm not in the woods right now. But for me right now, man, I'm trying to work on this old sorry golf game of mine. You know, it's just like anything. As soon as you think you got this thing beat, man, it comes back and, you know, it hits you right in the face. So just playing golf, man, more practicing and going out and doing some stuff. Still refuse to take a lesson.
Uh-huh.
And just going out there and trying to figure it out on my own. So that's about it, man. You know, I was teaching martial arts up to about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I realized that, you know, just right after retiring football in 2000, I was 91. I was already teaching martial arts in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I retired in 2000, it just fell right into it. So us up to about 3 years ago, man, you know, I just kind of looked down and say, you know what? I haven't had any time for myself. So
right.
I just stopped, you know, teaching And I won't say stop teaching. I stopped teaching, still do some consulting, not a whole lot, but I stopped teaching, man, on a, you know, from, you know, 3-4 days a week to just, you know, try and take care of me, you know? So the focus is on me now, you know, just, you know, my kids are grown and doing their own things, and, you know, they got their own friends. They call when they want something. They don't call you when they, you know, just to say hi. They call when they want something. You know how that works.
I do.
So I'm just kind of taking care of me, man. Just, you know, one day at a time. And like you said, I'm, you know, on the road going and doing, you know, everybody's got a golf tournament. You can do one a week, but pick and choose where I want to go. And then we got a group of guys that get together and, you know what that's about. You know, group of NFL guys get together. And it's more of a, you know, shit talking thing than it is golfing. So, you know, we do that, man. And just having fun, man, looking back at it. Glad I had a chance to make, you know, some guys still call me friend and allow me to play a little football with them. But other than that, man, it's all good, man. You look good, by the way, bro.
Hey, man, you looking good. I'm all grayed up and, you know.
Oh, look, I'm the same. You just got to get the camera in a little closer. I am too. it's just cut down a little bit. That's all.
Indeed. Now, you're so nice and you're so pleasant. If you don't know the man, the myth, the legend, y'all need to go do your homework on this man that I am interviewing right now, which I could post highlights on these interviews, because if you don't understand what playing the position of linebacker represents, to me, Greg Lloyd represents the epitome of what especially an outside backer should represent. You weren't always this nice, G. Like, you were not. It's like you're a person right now, because the first one I met, the first iteration of Greg Lloyd, Master Lloyd, that I met him at it. I want to say it was a TGI Fridays. It was near Passavant Hospital. Now, think about this. I will never forget it. I think it was TGI Fridays, right? Was it that TGI Fridays that sat off of McKnight Road?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in there with Frank Collins, who was a volunteer coach. You probably know him as a scab. You know, he played. I think he had a minute with a cup of coffee with the Steelers. He takes me there to eat. And lo and behold, I see my favorite football player sitting there having a meal. And I knew your reputation. Everybody in Pittsburgh knew the big Land Rover, the black and gold Land Rover. Look, I'm blowing your mind right now, right? This is how influential you were to me, all right? I seen the Land Rover driving on McKnight all the time when I was hitting the high school. You'd be driving by, I'd be like, there goes Greg Lloyd. There's Greg Lloyd. I come up to say hello to you, and you say, it's Mr. Lloyd.
Yeah, now, that's probably right.
Now get the fuck out of my face. I am eating right now.
That was probably. I know that. I know that guy.
Yeah, you know that guy?
I know that guy.
Now,
I tried to bury him, man. I tell you what, I tried to bury him. I did. I had a funeral for him and buried him and the whole deal, you know what I mean?
Now,
but you know,
that was then, my man, influence though. I became Mr. Arrington because of Mr. Lloyd. Talk to me about that mentality.
Well, you know, growing up, man, you know, I grew up in a matriarch household. My aunt raised me, and youngest of nine, and you know, the baby boy, five girls, and you know, everybody's always telling you what to do. But everything we did was yes or no, sir. We was always taught that, you know, you're gonna go think, you know, you can get a lot more with yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, that, whatever, and all that stuff. So, you know, we weren't just allowed to talk like that. You know, something I taught, you know, also, you know, I passed that on to my kids. And so, you know, if my kids who are, you know, young at the time is going to say, you know, instead of saying daddy, you know, they're going to say daddy, but, you know, in public go yes, sir, no, sir, to answer my question. Then here comes somebody else's kid walks up to you and they want to, you know, excuse me.
Hey,
excuse
Greg.
Hey, Greg. Yeah,
right.
Hey, Greg.
Right. No respect.
Do you mind signing this? You know, like, and in your head, sometimes you think you're saying it in your head. You think you're saying it in your head, like, you're going to get your little ass away from me.
That was what I got.
Yeah. If you don't get your little ass away, you know, that kind of thing. But it's like, you know, martial arts was part of it. But, you know, at the same time, like you say, you know, when I look back on it, obviously it could have been a better way to do it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the personification of who you were says, you know, hey, listen, this could be a teaching moment, but, you know, and it is, but mm-hmm. we're going to do it in a way that they'll never forget it. Mm-hmm. So they don't ever say that to anybody again. So that's what you did. Now understand this. I did not know who you were.
No, exactly.
And not that it mattered. Yeah. Not that it mattered to me. It was like, you know, especially being former ROTC for so many, you know, 4 years in high school, 4 years in college, mm-hmm. and then coming right over into martial arts. Everything is yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, sir, no, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, no, sir. You know, and then so you figured you've earned it. Mm-hmm. And somebody comes up to you and say, hey, man, or hey, dude, or hey, guy, or, you know, what you doing? Can you do? And it's like, okay, you know, and on top of the fact that I'm eating, mm-hmm. you know,
this you didn't have your food yet. Okay, you did well, not have better. Your food well, yet. I was respectful.
At least you were smart enough to do yes. that. But again, you know, that sometimes, man, you know, it could be the mood, it could have been anything. But I was crazy back then, man. You know that. You know, it was crazy. You know, you play this game, you got to be crazy. You're always on edge, always thinking, you know, this. And then on top of that, I got martial arts in me, and I'm thinking somebody's always trying to try me because everybody looks at you and think, oh, man, you know, I thought you were bigger than that. You're always thinking like,
right.
I want to put my foot on this guy if he don't, you know, get the hell away from me kind of thing. So, you know, I get, you know, it's just age. I'm going to tell you the truth, LeVar. You understand. It's mm-hmm. just age. Once you're done football, you can do so much. But then age kicks in and you start mm-hmm. thinking, you know what, man, you know, I've got to do some things better. I've got to say some things better. I've got to try to, not just for my kids, but, you know, the kids that I'm instructing now, you know, I want them to be a better version, a better martial artist version of me. You know, I want them to be a better version of me. So, in order for that to happen, they have to see a better version. Mm-hmm. So I have to start doing that. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. I have my moments, you know, and things of that nature. But that's probably what it was, man. Just a geeked up kid, man, who, you know, ready, you know, never got into a fight, tried to avoid most fights. But, you know, not because I was afraid of a person, but because I was afraid of myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I was afraid that, you know, if I got into it with somebody that, you know, football would come out. You know, martial arts is there, but football is going to come out. And it's like, I'm not letting you up until I know that you're not breathing anymore. And that's not good. So, you know, for me, it's just I had to back away, and I had to just, you know, become this guy. My martial arts instructor to this day, Grandmaster Kong to this day, mm-hmm. tells me, he says, when did you get so nice? and it's a compliment at the same time. He's, you know, he's looking at me like, you know, yeah, you're matured, you've gotten older. I know that's what it means. It's not an insult, but it's mm-hmm. it's a compliment. When did you get so it's like, hey, listen, man, we play football, so much stuff that we had to deal with, media,
yeah.
teammates and stuff yeah. like that. So it's like, hey, listen, you know, I'm here to play a game. I'm not here to, you know, kiss babies and shake hands. I'm here to
I
do
wasn't
a job.
Hired for my disposition.
There it is. I wasn't hired for it. You know, I was hired to go out there. And, you know, literally, I thought my job was to try to make people quit playing football on Sunday.
That was the job.
I was trying to make people quit playing football, not trying to tackle nobody, not trying to,
I'm trying to
you know,
your
to
life.
Win a game. I'm trying to make you quit playing football. On you right. line across from me, I was hoping that the way I played the game, when the game was over with, you went and told your coach, I'm done. I ain't doing this no more. I'm done. You know, if I got to play against that cat right there, somebody like him every week, I'm done. And that's the way I practice. I practice that way. And so my teammates would be like, this dude is crazy. It's like, dude, what's wrong with you? Why are you like? And so martial arts gave me that energy, man. It gave me that edge that you start the game with this amount of energy and you finish the game with this amount of energy. Amen. And that's the way I did. And once you get 11 or 10 other guys thinking like that, man, that's how it was. And so, you know, it just kind of steamrolled, man. And for me, you know, that's I can't say it's the way I live my life now. Just not as high intensity, uh-huh. but still in that matter. You know, if I start something, I want to be the best at. That's why I say I'm practicing more golf than I'm playing golf, yeah. because it's like, you know, I want to be good at. Yeah. You know, and so we know how it is when we throw ourselves into something, man. We're like, we can't go in half ass. We got to go in. We're all in. You know, and I'll probably never get to be what I want to be as a golf, but I won't get as close as I can be to it, man. And it won't be for a lack of trying. And so that's my life. You know, that's the way I do everything.
Why do you think it became golf? Because like you did, I believe it was Kung Fu, right?
Taekwondo.
That's right. Taekwondo. That's contact. That's now it's control. As you mentioned, Master Kong in Ross Township he's legendary. Everybody legendary. Knows about young
Absolutely.
Brothers, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's that, but that's still force. You know what I mean? That's taking the energy and it's transferring the energy and taking the balance and all those things. And I guess that you could say that as in golf, but I've never been able to truly get into golf because it doesn't appeal to me in a way where what football represented. You have to find the ultimate balance between, especially at our position, right. the strength, the speed, the quickness, every single thing. We had to be everyone. We had to be as strong as the D lineman. We had to be as you know, have as much agility as the running backs and the receivers. How does that translate into you doing golf now?
Well, I'm going to say this. I echo what you say about being an outside linebacker. If we were in college, or when we were in college, an outside linebacker, you got three scholarships, like you say. You know, they're giving you one, but you got three. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to tackle. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to rush the passer, and you got to be able to step out there and cover. Mm-hmm. Not everybody on defense is actually do that.
So we're the only ones that do it.
We are the only one, especially in a 3-4 defense. In a 3-4 defense, if you don't have four outstanding linebackers that can cover tight end, not just let their punk ass run down the middle of the field without mm-hmm. touching them, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that. But you got to be able to do that. You got to be able to be a run stuffer. You got to be able to stop shit on play on the other side of the ball. You got to be able to go out there and line up on a wide receiver covering for 20 yards, you mm-hmm. know, carrying for 10 yards, 15 yards across the field. And you got to be able to get off the ball and be able to, you know, put some pressure on the quarterback. They don't ask everybody to do that, mm-hmm. you know. And see, now, different game because now they hire – he's a pass rusher.
Oh, yes, we just drafted a pass rusher.
We just drafted a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. So what happens on, you know when they're not pass rushing? When it's not a pass rush down, what are you doing?
You got to take them off the field.
You got to take them off the field. So you got $100 million standing on the fucking sideline.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, it's a different game. This is a really pussy game that they play right now. Hard for mm-hmm. me to watch. And I know you're recording this, and I apologize.
No, but, you speak your mind. This open straight, forum.
Straight pussy game right now.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there's some dogs still out there. I still got some guys I watch. There's still some dogs out there. But for the most part, it's like, how the fuck would you feel if coach said, hey, it's third down, LeBron, we're going to take you out of the game? Because, first and second down.
I look at you like you're crazy.
First and second down, we're not going to let you play. We're going to bring you in on third down because you pass right.
Yeah.
It's like, and then, you know, now you're in the locker room with me, and I'm looking at you like, this motherfucker here only coming in on third down. I'm out there first, second, and third down. Like, what the fuck we got him for?
Right.
You know? And then the money they're going to pay. So that's just it. But it's just, that's just being old school. Now, transitioning over into what you talk about taekwondo.
Golf. Oh, taekwondo. And golf. Yeah.
Taekwondo, the ultimate game of, I won't say chess, but it's the ultimate game of self-discipline, you know, the knowing that you can in the real world has to be enough. On the floor, when I'm being challenged, when I'm tested and when I'm practicing, lots of contact. In the real world, somebody who I assume might not know what I know, I have to be so mellow because what'll come back? I have a seventh degree black belt in Taekwondo. I've been doing this for 30 plus years. If I go out and somebody's talking smack to me, it's got to be, hey, listen, man, let's not do this.
Right.
And I almost got to sound like the coward.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? I almost have to sound like the coward because if I get into that lane, I can't get out of it until I know that you're down and you can't get up and do nothing.
Yes.
Right. You can't get up and do nothing to me.
Yeah.
So it's easy for me to be home. It's easy for me to go to a golf course and play golf where I know it's me versus me.
Yes.
It's me versus me. Mm-hmm. It's not me versus the guys I'm playing with.
Because they're going to try the golf course. They're going to try you. You go out to eat, you go out anywhere. Yes. I have dealt with this more than you can imagine.
You see, you're a lot bigger guy than me. You're a lot bigger than me. And guys wanted, like, if they could punk the big guy, they can do it. But they see me, they see a smaller guy. I've always been a smaller linebacker, even back then.
That's right.
When people see you in public, they go, oh, I thought he was bigger than that. And so you hear it and you go, well, what does that mean?
Right.
What is that supposed to mean? You know, and so you have to let it go. So as you get older, you hear it, you don't pay attention. But people got to understand, I'm 57, bro. I'm not 28. Yeah. Greg Lloyd at 28 years old, I could almost jump over the top of your head and bite your fucking hair off if I wanted to. Like now, I'm like, you know, everybody's shooting and all that old dumb stuff like this right here. So nobody wants to stand and knuckle up anymore because everybody's cowards. Mm-hmm. And so my thing of it is, it's easy for me to go out and have that confrontation with a golf ball and with the golf course, and then when I'm home, I'm mellow. Mm-hmm. So football is football, but so opposite of taekwondo. Football is all power. Football is all, you know, you get in there, you grab a guy, you do this, unless you pass rush, you give him some finesse. Mm-hmm. Taekwondo is all finesse. Mm-hmm. Taekwondo is all finesse. Taekwondo is using sometimes the other person's body. Sometimes taekwondo is like, you know, I'm thinking ahead of time of what are you going to do based on where your feet are, based on where your body's standing, what your posture is, you know, whether I have my right foot in front, my left foot in front, whether yours in front. I'm seeing all that based on that, I'm thinking there's two moves that you probably got, one off your back foot, one off your front foot, and I'm already ready to counter. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's taekwondo. That's in the moment with the belt on in the ring and stuff like that. In real life, I'm not going to give you the opportunity.
Right.
So in real life, it's like, I have to initiate once I think that you have entered what I call when my hand extends out like that.
Yeah, once you've entered
my personal space, there is no thinking no more. I have to put you down and make you think. So by the grace of God, man, I've never had to use it, but it's a great tool to have. But it's also my saving grace. It's my thing that says to me, yeah, he's being a butthole, but if you do that, everybody's gonna go, Greg, you should have kicked his butt. Well, ain't no big deal there, you know, stuff. But what people don't know is that it's people like that shoot people and carry guns.
Right.
So I don't know what he's got on him, but I got to make sure that he can't get up and go get it, and I can walk away, you know, I got to do. So I don't put myself. So I don't go to bars. I don't go to strip clubs. I play golf. I may eat something at the country club. And you'll find me home or at my cigar bar. That's where I go. I go to the little cigar bar that's where I'm headed.
I appreciate my invite, by the way. You know what I mean?
Anytime.
I'm going to take you up on it, too.
Hey, anytime you were in the ATL and you want to go hang out at the cigar bar, I got one for you. All my riding friends are bikers. So we all ride bikes, man. And it's cool.
Okay.
But that's what I do.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially when your social gathering's picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. We all have had experiences where if you get that help, it helps you get through, whether it's talking to somebody you love or talking to someone professional. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with licensed therapists and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/gamepresents today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gamepresents.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now let's take the Taekwondo into the game and how you talked about the power and all those things. You're watching a specialized era of football. Like, you look at AD, Aaron Donald is, you know, training on different techniques, different deals like that. It's now being praised and lauded for those who take the time to understand and pay attention to the techniques of pass rushing and hand-to-hand combat. And everybody's got training videos now and different things like that. This is something that you, this is something that KG, Kevin Green, God rest his soul. This is, these are things that I watched you guys doing in the early 90s.
Right.
And it wasn't, I don't know that people comprehended it as much as they should have. And I don't know if they respected the art form of what you guys brought to the table. You mentioned how your size, I was shocked that I was basically your size when I met you and I was in high school, and it made me force myself to think, because I had seen linemen. I had saw how big certain guys are, and they're like, you got to hope you get big enough to be able to deal with those guys. And then I meet Greg Lloyd, and I'm like, he is beating up on people bad out there. So my mentality, everything about my mentality changed when I met you and I started studying you, and everything became about, like, I never saw a person. When I went out there on the field, and I took a little bit of martial arts, and I went to Young Brothers and started to take a little bit of martial arts.
Cool, dude.
And so I never saw a person. I always tell people, if you want to be really good at defeating a blocker, your business is your business until it isn't. So I don't see anything else until I defeat the person that's in front of me right now. I don't see a person. I see targets. And so when I come off the ball, I see your shoulder. I split your body in half, and I'm operating on half of your body. I watched. I not even us ever having the exchange. This is what every single Sunday, video recorded y'all, and would be running it back, watching what you're doing off of the edges.
Right.
That is now what people are getting
paid to do.
Right.
Yeah. And they're getting all kind of accolades and, oh, look at what they're doing.
How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, it's like everything you do, man. You think about the young kids today. Forget football, right, for a minute. But all the fads and sayings and things that they're doing, you know, they're calling it something totally different. And we laugh at it. We go, dude, we were doing that in high school. We called it this. We were doing that in college, and we call it this. But because of this thing that we're on right now and social media and stuff, because it changed everything.
Yeah.
And now everybody's doing it. There's some no-name guy somewhere who said, hey, I'm going to teach you how to do this. It's like, who is that? You know, here's the deal. You can't teach me about football if you haven't gotten down there and got your shoulders numb and got your neck almost broken, your fingers stepped on, stuff like that. That's how I feel. Now, I respect coaches who haven't, but at the end of the day, if you know, it's like the guy coming home from war. He's been over there in them too. He's had bullets fired at him.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't sit down and talk to him about, you know, you were running from somebody shooting and stuff. That's something he did every day.
Yeah.
That was his survival. That was his survival every day and every night. Not just on Saturday nights when you chose to go over there. He didn't have a choice. So same thing with football. Football is like, you know, like you said, it became our vocation. It's something that we did. It's what we made a living for. So for you and I, we got to figure out how do we stay in this league for 12 years, because next year they're drafting somebody in your position, LeVar.
That's right.
Next year they're drafting somebody in my position. We don't got first round draft choice. Garbage, but we all got some first round draft choices.
Right.
First rounders. And they like, you know, with Greg, they draft a guy. And I was like, why are you guys calling my name? Last time I checked, here were my stats and my accolade, and you guys ain't, are you calling the guy on the other side of the ball? You say right. The same thing. But that's Pittsburgh. There's a whole nother deal. On that. Yeah, there's a whole nother deal there. But my thing is this. What we did back then, it's like anytime anybody could do anything extra that's going to give you an edge in a game or give you an edge on your job, then you want to be rewarded for it. You know, mm-hmm. And you should be rewarded for. And if you're not rewarded for, it's going to show up on the field, and everything. And other people would know. That's the great thing about, you know, 30 something other teams as opposed to just one team. And so, not only was the martial arts something that I used when I played the game, but see, I used to also go over to Carnegie Mellon and run track with Rod Woodson and Carnell Lake.
Mm-hmm. And they used to come to North Hills, too.
Yeah.
They used to come to Mortarelli Stadium. I used to see Carnell and Rod on the field.
Yeah. And so they used to get me out there, and I was like, okay, I worked out this morning. We did our workout this morning at the stadium.
Then you went over with them.
And then we went over to them and ran, and then I had class.
Wow.
And then I had class no more. So you talk about there were days where it was like, work out at the gym, get you running in, all that stuff. You know how they do that.
Yep.
Then we go over there, and it's like, hey, listen, bro, I got 12 o'clock, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm at Taekwondo in all season at 12 o'clock. So by 11:15, we need to be done. So 11:30, Quanjanem, Grandmaster Cole, he's bringing my phone ring. You on your way? Yes, sir. You guys run? Yes, sir. Okay. Now, when I got there, soaking wet and everything, he didn't look at me like, okay,
I'm gonna give you a break,
Mr. Lord. I'm gonna give. That's right. He was like, "That's what you do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get paid to do." In my class now, you got private class with me, just like you gave everything out there.
You're I expect give the same you thing. Got. That's right.
So I'm dragging off the floor, bro. I'm some days I'm crawling off the floor, and it's like I can't put no weight on. How can I put any weight on because this is what I'm getting? But what it taught me was leverage.
Yeah.
What it taught me was that. And see, all of the technique and all the stuff that other people are doing and stuff like that, here's what you can't coach. You can't coach that right there. Because
mm-hmm.
if you ain't got no heart, I'm going to take it from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what dogs do. We ain't just going after the jugular. We're going after your heart. Mm-hmm. I want to take your heart from you. So you line up in front of me, 6'5", 6'8", 6'9", 300 pounds, and I'm going to throw you around like a rag doll, and then I'm going to talk shit to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna talk shit to you the rest of the day, you know. And then it's like you look over to the sideline, you go, "Is this it? Is this all y'all got? Is this all y'all got right here?" And it's game, set, match after that. But these are these boys. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm repping my college today.
For Valley, but these are these boys
coming from these D2, you know, places where everybody talks about your Penn States and your Clemsons and your Pitts and all that.
Yeah.
And then they got to deal with Fort Valley. And so they show up and say, Fort Valley, what's that? That military school? I said, bitch, you about to find out.
Right.
You about to find out. Because, see, last time I checked, you got on the same shoulder pads and helmets that I got on. Uh-huh. And we on the same field. So let's see your, give me your best. You know, you give me your best, I'm going to give you my best. And at the end of the day, let's see who wins. And see, if you did not think like that in practice, if you did not practice like that, you can't play like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening now. But like I said, going by what you said, I think, like you say, all they're doing is mimicking a lot of stuff that we did back then. But people didn't know, again, because of, like I say, what we're sitting here doing right now. This camera and this Zoom and this, you know, all these Insta spots and grams and whatever. I think I got an Instagram because of golf. But that's why people are aware of this stuff. That's why people that, you know, I mean, come on, dude, I got 5 friends. I can't have a million friends. I can't have 400,000 friends. I got 5 friends. Half the time, hell, I forget their names.
Right.
You know,
that's too
so
funny.
People say, so people like, I got 40,000 followers. They're like, you know, who gives a shit? These people don't know who you are. They're not your friend.
Right.
They're not your friend. They're just in your business.
Right.
You know, you know what? If you want to be in my business, call me. Call me and I'll tell you what I'm doing. Other than that, you don't know what I'm doing and you don't need to know what I'm doing because I'm not that guy. You see, a lot of guys in the bar didn't do shit when they was in the league.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And so this is their way of trying to say, hey, look at me.
Let
you
me
know,
level
yeah,
up.
I play. Yeah, let me show you my, hey, let me show you my card I got. Yeah, this is my NFL card, I got. It's like, you'll sit your punk ass down somewhere, you know. So, but see, like I say, for me, I go somewhere and people, it happens all the time. People go, man, you look like Greg Lowe. I say, you know, I get that a lot. And I keep it moving. I'm not finna stand there. If you know me, you know me.
Right.
You know? If you know me, you know me. But I'm not finna stand there and have a conversation with you you know, especially on the golf course.
Yeah.
So for me, man, it's like, we did what we did, man. We got down. We got dirty. We practiced. And LeBron, think about this, bro. LeBron, we had basically three games. We had a game on Thursday when it was defense day. We had a game basically on Friday because it was short yard to goal line, 1-1. And then we had a game on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know? So that's how we practice, man. And that's how we got good at what we did. But I just think a lot of it, man, like you said, you got some guys out there. If they take the opportunity to go do the things that you're saying, they take the opportunity to do something extra, they take the opportunity to, you know, to hone in on a game to be the best. Because again, you know, you got to understand this game, no matter how much money you make and stuff like this right here, it's still short lived. At some point, you either get in the pink slip or you got to say, I'm done, you know. And everybody would like to go out like my old boy JB did. You win the Super Bowl, say, mm-hmm. I'm done, you retire, and whoo, look at this guy. What a great guy. Everybody don't get that. You know, some of us after 3 years, and most of them, and I say us because I'm part of that team. Most of us who played in this business know that after 3 years, they say, okay, you know, that's
you're
it.
You're out of here.
You're out of here. You'll never play football again. You know, that's it. You know, and so for that reason, man, like you said, yeah, do everything you can to make yourself better. You know, but understand it's been done before you. You ain't the first person. Like you said, it ain't like you guys went out there and discovered dirt. You know, it's been here a while, you know. Mm-hmm. So like you say, those guys have the advantage and when it comes to people understanding, you know, knowing who they are because of social media, not just games on Sunday, but just because of social media and things of that nature to put the name out. But some guys are doing it, man, because, you know, they're out there. You know, the guys show up every Sunday, you know, and stuff like that. And then those are the guys that's fast. I can't respect a guy. You do this one year, maybe 2 years. And then you got these slap dicks on television. Oh, what a great player. Like, man, shut the fuck. He is not a great player. You know, when a quarterback steps out and throws the out pattern for 6 yards, that's a great throw. He does that every day in practice.
Right.
Like you say, if he's got you or me dragging his ass down and he pushes it in his left hand and he throws it, that's a great throw.
That's different, right.
That's a great throw. But everything else is just normal. So people who don't know the game are not really being educated by these guys who really haven't played the game and who just there for entertainment sake.
Yeah.
So when I hear somebody say great player, I got to go, okay, let me watch this. And then I watch and I go, great players don't stop during a play. Even if the player on your side, great players run over to that side just in case the ball comes out.
Gotta go.
That's what great players do. Great players don't take them. Great players not standing on the sideline on third down. Great players not doing it. Great players be like, listen, me and the coach argue. What were you and the coach arguing about? Because I want to be in the game. He's not trying to put me. That's what we argue about. It ain't the opposite of that. That's what great players do. But also great players do, the most important thing what great players do, is they take the talent that's around them and they bring it up to their
level. Make them better. Yeah.
You know, at one point, I had every one of our linebackers at Taekwondo. I had half our defensive linemen at Taekwondo. But guess what? They couldn't do it.
Right.
They couldn't do it. They was like, that's too hard. That's way too hard. I'm tired. That's too hard. And I was like, well, I thought the same thing when I first went there, but there was just something in me that said, if it's hard, why not? Why not me? You know? And then life is that way. You know, how many of us have been born with a, you know, silver spoon in our mouth? Some of us have, but most of us haven't. If you talk to most guys in NFL, most of us can tell you that we were born poor, we grew up poor, and then we had a talent. This is our way out. That's what we did. And the only way we knew that we weren't going to go back to where we came from, we had to outwork everybody. And so that's the deal. How many people outwork you when you were playing? See, my thing was, ain't nobody gonna outwork me. Right. You're not going to outwork me. I don't care who gets it. You're just not going to outwork me. And that's what's happening. But now it's you know, guys don't even hang out together no more. They got their own entourage. You know, they hang out with guys that they grew up with, and they ain't a team.
Professional friends.
Yeah, because it's an individual deal now. Because all guys are concerned about now is it's my next contract. I'm just concerned about my next contract. I don't care about these people. I don't even care where I play at. I don't care if I go from – I've been playing here for 6 years. So the competitive league has changed so much that, like you said, it's basically it's an individual thing. But as a player with us, that's what we did. We took guys that were around us that were basically above average players. You know, you got to be a good player to be in the league. But even in the league, you still have elite players, and you got, you know, some guys that you got your grunts. You got some grunts that got to get the work done. But you got some elite players outside of that. And you got to take those elite players, got to take those grunts, and you got to get in that mixture. And you got to bring them up to a level. You got to bring up to their highest level of playing. And if you can do that, man, you have done your job as so-called leaders, so-called elite players on the team. But if you're just taking your talent and you just say, I ain't showing that young rookie nothing. I ain't going to do nothing. I ain't going out there, you know, show him no hand technique. And my thing was, hey, listen, man, I'll show young linebackers anything they want to do because of what I said, statement I said earlier. You're not going to outwork me. I'll show you everything. I'll take you to class with me. But you're not going to outwork me, period. And guys are afraid to do that now because they're afraid to lose their job. And more importantly, they're afraid that I ain't going to be on ESPN. They're afraid. They want to be there. They want to be a good. That's what it's all about, man. So that's why I say it's not a team game anymore. It's so much an individual game. It's hard to watch, you know, and especially hard to watch when you see somebody say, this guy's a great player. Okay, I'm tagging him now, and I'm watching him, watching him, watching him, watching him. I'm like, dude, he's not even hustling to lob the ball. The ball's running to the other side of the field. He's just standing there watching. And I go, okay. So now I understand what these people mean by a great player. He made a great play. Oh, by the way, LeBron, if they run the ball in a hole and you're just you and him and you make the tackle, don't get up dancing. You're supposed to make that play. You know why? Because that defensive end you got in front of you, two-gap. He two-gapped the guy, and he made sure that you were taken care of. So, and you should make that play. So don't get up celebrating. You're supposed to make that play. That play is designed for you to make it. Don't get up doing all this dancing bullshit and all that stuff like that. But see, these idiots on these television shows and these idiots that are giving you the news, except for some of the guys that play, they don't know that. They don't know that. To them, it's like, oh, watch him shoot the gap. Like, shut up, please. So that's what I've seen football since I retired. And it's like, dude, I can't watch this. You know, my guys go, hey, Greg, the Steelers the player, man. What you doing here? I come to hit my golf ball. Steelers going to win or lose without me watching it or whatever. They're going to do what they're going to do. But I'm not stuck in front of a television, bro. Right. That's how it is, man.
This is part one. This is too good.
We was in Pittsburgh. Me, LeVon, Chad, Morovia Mall. And then we were doing an autograph session. Guy brought us in, and I walked in. And Hammer was already signing, and Franco was on the end. So before I start signing, I got to go down and give homage to my elders. So I go down, I hug Franco, stop what he's doing. I come back over, and I hug Hammer, and what he's doing. We have a little chit-chat, and then I sit down, okay? So LeVon did the same thing. Chad did the same thing. Number 90 comes out. He sits down in the chair, and he signs, and he gets up and leaves. And I almost lost it, bro. I almost fucking lost. I don't give a fuck if you are the defensive player of the year. I don't give a fuck if you had 30 sacks. These guys paved the way.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.